The opinions expressed and tuned in are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Welcome to Tuned In, a podcast where I interview local musicians from Toronto. I am your host, Azriel Kerbel. Last week, I had the opportunity to talk with Katia Wells-Green, a musician and student at Toronto Metropolitan University. We talked about how they first began making music, their experience as a new musician in Toronto, and their plans for the future. I hope you enjoy.
Yeah, I guess we can start off with a simple question to get the conversation going. What music are you listening to recently?
Recently, I'm listening to, generally it's going to be a lot of jazz. It's going to be a lot of R&B. I feel like I've been influenced by Spotify playlists. They started doing like the your daily Spotify playlist, you know, the ones with like the weird names like Cowboy Tuesday. So I've been listening to, I can't remember what the playlist was called, but it was like ethereal R&B or something like that. I started listening to that about a year ago, and there were a lot of new artists that I found on that playlist. One artist in particular, Mariba, I think that's how you say her name. I'm not totally sure because I've never seen her live and I've never heard anyone say her name, but she kind of does that. It's like ethereal R&B, like vibey, chill R&B is kind of what I've been listening to. A little bit of folk here and there, but yeah.
Do you feel like that matches the type of music that you make?
Not exactly, no. Maybe the stuff that I used to make when I was younger, I used to make ethereal. No, I used to make like soul, a mix of soul and jazz music, I would say. That's what was told to me anyways. So I feel like that genre that I was doing when I was like, 18 to 20, 25 was a little bit more on brand with that, but not really anymore.
And what do you feel like kind of drove the change from one genre to the other?
That's an interesting question. One that I haven't really thought about a whole lot. I feel like when I was younger, I really idolized, like when I was really young, it was like Adele when I was still into pop music. And then I transitioned, I started hearing like Amy Winehouse's earlier music, which is very jazz based. At that time as well, I started listening to like neo soul artists like Erykah Badu and Jill Scott and stuff like that. So I feel like I kind of wanted to emulate them. And so I kind of did that in my own way with the jazz and the soul. But I feel like I was trying to be somebody else, kind of. I thought it was like cool to use crazy jazz chords and whatever. I wanted to be that person because I really admired that. But when I first started writing music, it was a little bit more just kind of like folk pop. And I think with my voice specifically, there's just an element of soul that's like in it because my voice is very, kind of like gritty and loud, kind of Janis Joplin-y. People have told me, again, I don't think that about myself, but I think I just kind of switched to writing what was coming out naturally rather than like trying to be something that I wanted to emulate, you know?
Do you feel like there was anything happening in your life that caused that shift?
When I first started writing more folky stuff, I was still living in the UK, and then I kind of got a travel bug. And so I was traveling around like Asia and stuff like that. A lot of that kind of travel music that I was writing, it just like fit more of a folk genre. It's a little bit more, I can be like, I'm on the road, doodly doo doo doo, as opposed to jazz, which is not really that kind of vibe. So I feel like that's where it started. I think I was influenced by some artists in London in the UK when I was living there. There was a lot of folk music there, so I think that definitely influenced me, and I was like, maybe this is a way that I could go. Yeah.
Are there any artists in particular?
In the UK? I frequented a bar called Spiritual Bar. It was in Camden Town, and I played there like weekly. One person that I really admired is an artist named Nio. She did a lot of Yeah, she does folk music. There was a lot of really great lyricism, and like the musicianship was still complex without having to use like crazy chords. So I really admired her. She was in Harry Styles' band, which I'm like, yeah, I know somebody who was in Harry Styles' band. She just was a really genuine person, and I admired her.
Yeah, I guess to change the topic a little bit, to get more to your journey as an artist, what do you think inspired you to start making music in the first place?
I mean, I've been doing music for a really long time in like one capacity or another, you know what I mean? Like I was always singing, I think. And so I started doing like piano lessons and voice lessons. And I think that started because my mom just kind of recognized that I might be like interested in music because I was always singing. I was always writing like little poems and stuff like that. So I was like writing songs without knowing I was writing songs. And then I went to a music school that was called Wentworth Music. It was like an extracurricular music school, not like I wasn't like studying there. I took lessons, vocal and piano lessons, and then they had like a band program where their like some of their talented students would get a band together and do like covers and stuff like that. It was very silly. So I started doing that, and then through that, I feel like I was like, oh, we should like actually be a band and like write songs and stuff like that. And none of them took it seriously. So I just kind of went off on my own. I started writing my own songs. I knew how to play piano so I could accompany myself that way. I started taking guitar lessons very briefly, I think over like one summer. And then I just kind of learned the rest on my own because I always saw like singer-songwriters as being like someone who could play guitar. So I learned how to play guitar. I started writing music, started posting covers on Facebook because that's when people still did that. And then, yeah, I was doing that from when I was like 16 to 18 when I was still in high school. And then as soon as I was out of high school, I decided to move to the UK and pursue music over there. And I just gigged and I wrote songs and made a lot of mistakes. And that's, yeah, that's pretty much it. I've just always wanted to be in music in some capacity. I've always loved writing. I've always loved singing. It's just an inherent thing that's always been with me. I've just always wanted to be in music in some way or another.
And in terms of your early music, do you feel like there was anything that inspired a lot of the songs you were writing, or maybe any themes that were kind of consistent throughout your work?
I feel like a lot of what I've written over the years has definitely been about like heartbreak and stuff like that. Like one of the first, I think the first official song that I was like, this is my song. Hey guys, I'm sharing an original with you. It was about my high school breakup, and it was called Without You. And it was very, what's the word? Very angsty and like, I will never get over you. So I feel like I write a lot about that. It's definitely like personal experiences that I write about mostly. When I was younger as well, I feel like I would write sometimes to like hype myself up, like be like, you can do this. You're good, girl. You've got everything you need, you know, like self-actualization, those types of themes as well. Say definitely inspired by just like personal experiences, family, relationships. And then, I don't know, sometimes when I'd be having a good day, I'd be like, yeah, everything's going to be okay. But those were few and far between.
When you first got into playing shows, I guess in London, what do you feel like some of the challenges were?
Honestly, I feel like the biggest struggle for me even now, because I just moved to Toronto a couple of years ago and I don't really know where to go or how to do it. It's just like knowing where to play, like where to start out, what you have to do first. And so I was kind of lucky that I had, like I made some other musician friends pretty quickly. And so like, I'd be like, hey, what do you do when you're looking for places to play? And my one friend was just kind of like, I literally just email every venue that I can and I ask for opportunities. And so I started doing that and it did lead to a couple things. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing here. Either you go to an open mic and like start talking to people and look for places to play, or you just like emailing places and being like, hey, this is me. You kind of have to have like a portfolio ready. Be like, hello, this is me. Listen to my stuff. I want to play for you. And then hopefully you get a gig. But I feel like the biggest struggle anywhere as a musician is just like knowing where to go, especially if you don't have connections, because the arts are all about that. I mean, most industries these days are very, very much so that way. It's all nepotism. Everybody knows each other. So you got to weasel your way in there and be like, hey, I'm here too.
Do you feel like there's maybe any different challenges between London and Toronto?
A challenge in Toronto is that it's not as set up for someone like me who like isn't a part of a band and just has like a guitar and some songs and wants to sing for people. I don't know. Things are so spread out here. It was also like that in London. It's such a huge city. Even though Toronto is a big city as well, I feel like it is very small. It's a little cliquey, nepo-y, that kind of vibe. So if you're an outsider coming in, it's kind of difficult to get your foot in the door. And you kind of, you really do have to like, you know, pay your dues and play shitty gigs at shitty little bars until someone else is like, hey, come play over here. And then you play there for a while. And then you go, hey, come play over here. Come, you know. So it just takes a while to find your place in a big city, but it happens eventually.
You're a student and you work as well. Those two things, in addition to being a musician, do you find those, you know, those three elements of your life hard to balance?
Definitely, yeah. Especially because work and school take a lot of, like, school takes a lot of mental energy and work takes a lot of physical energy. And so with those two things, it is pretty exhausting already because school is full-time. And then I also have a job. And then I have to balance all of those things already. And then I also have to find time to practice my art form. So it's tough, but I'm slowly getting better at it. I'm actually looking forward to be done with school soon so that I can maybe focus a little bit more on music, because that's what I did when I went to the UK. I wasn't in school. I just went and I played music wherever I could. And it was a little easier. I still had like a full-time job, so it still sucked and I was tired all the time. But I definitely had a little bit more time. So it is tough. It's tough to juggle all of those things, but also it's better for me to be busy.
Yeah, I guess how much time maybe per week or even just in general do you feel like you're able to focus on your music with those other two elements?
Honestly, not as much as I would like. I feel like because, I don't know, school feels important. It feels like I have to do it, even though it's, I feel like at this point I'm just like doing it to get the degree because I've gotten this far. And I kind of knew that that was going to happen, but I was hoping that it would surprise me. But sometimes my schoolwork like feels music related, but it's all very like theoretical. So actual practical things that I'm doing during the week, I don't have time to do a lot. And when I am, I'm not really like out in the community right now. I wouldn't say it's a lot of time just like spent at home writing songs, kind of like working on my craft. This period of my life is a little bit rough, so I definitely haven't been focusing on getting out there, you know, like knocking on everybody's door right now. I am focused on surviving, but it'll come.
And do you feel like any of those like theoretical components from school, that like you are able to apply them to your craft?
I think certain things, yeah. Like we had a BPM course with Sam Selsey, who actually works at Jerome Taberna. She was really cool. It was like essentially like a live event production, and we actually like they were like small productions, but we actually were like in the room and like setting up equipment and like playing for each other. That was really cool. Through her as well, like we were doing grant writing and stuff like that. I have another course this semester actually that goes into grant writing, which is really important for independent musicians. So stuff like that, I feel like, is relevant. for what I want to do, because I'm really interested in live events, like putting on community events. And then also if I'm going to be like releasing music of my own, I'm probably going to need to apply for a grant at some point. So those theoretical things are definitely practical skills that I can use in the future. So yeah, there are certain things, but I feel like the professional music program in general, it's a complaint that a lot of people in my program have, is we're doing like all of these CRI classes and they're all theoretical, like they're not practical courses, and we're all like, I don't know what this is supposed to be giving me at this point. Obviously it's like what you take from all of your schooling. Like, I'm sure there are important things that I can take away from all of my courses, but there's flaws, but there are certain things that I can take away. A few, here and there.
In terms of, we were talking about careers, obviously you're graduating next year. What are your plans for the future?
So it's really interesting because this is like the first time in my life I've ever had like, you know, like one of those like 5-year plans. It's not really like exactly set out, but so obviously I finish next year. I've got my internship this summer. After I graduate, I'm thinking of doing a music business master's, which is at Humber College. It's like a 1-year kind of condensed master's. And then there's also an internship component to that as well. And I just think it would probably look good. I know it's all about optics at this point, but for like a music industry job, my main goal is to get out of being in the service industry. I don't want to be a bartender when I'm like 50. So this is me trying to like set myself up to like transition out of the service industry. So this is my 5 to 10 year plan to do that, you know, like finish my degree, do my internship, get a master's, do the internship there, maybe start my first, like, you know, like intro position, still not making a lot of money probably, and still working in the industry part-time. And then hopefully over a period of a few years, I could like fully transfer out. And then also I'm hoping to, you know, work on my own personal music and do that thing. But I just really don't want to be a bartender forever. I'm over it.
Yeah, I guess before we end, is there anything else that you want to add that maybe you want to mention that I missed?
Nothing that comes to mind right off the bat. I don't know. I'm bad at talking about myself unless somebody asks me a question, and then I just keep yapping and yapping. I have a cool opportunity. It's not really an opportunity that was offered to me, but there is a really cool, there's like a, I think it's called Sugar Moon Festival. It's like an indigenous festival. Like, they're going to have like vendors and live music and stuff like that. And they're having like an open mic contest, and you can win like a $25,000 recording contract, which in the world of recording contracts is not a lot of money. But if I want to get like, you know, like a couple songs recorded or do a cheap EP, then that could be really helpful. So I'm doing that on Saturday. So wish me luck, y'all. Tell them to pick me.
Yeah, you mentioned that's an indigenous festival. Do you feel like being indigenous in any way maybe influences your art, like what you write about?
My journey with my indigenous identity has been sort of a recent one. Like, I always knew that I was Native, but I was raised outside of my community, and I was like brought up in the Catholic Church, and you're not really taught to like own your identity. So I'm kind of reconnecting with that now as an adult. And so my indigenous identity really didn't make it into my music until like the last couple years. So it is now, but yeah, it's a new thing actually, but it is a part of my art process now and for the future. But I hadn't really explored that side of me until very recently.
Do you feel like music has helped you explore that part of you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, music, with all personal aspects of my life, music is how it's like a great way for me to process things. So like over the years, every time something's been going on in my life, music has been a way for me to process my feelings about that and, you know, process the way that I think about things. And so, yeah, it is, it's help, music helps me explore everything about myself. And so inherently it helps me with my journey towards connecting back with my Indigenous roots. So yeah, 100%.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. In the next episode, I'll be interviewing Peter Gale Williams, an artist who's performed all around the world and now resides in Toronto. So tune in then.